This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Today we're going to review the rom-com Long Shot for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And the film this time around is directed by Jonathan Levine.
J-Lev.
Sure. From a script by Dan Stilling and Liz Hannah, it stars Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, as well as O'Shea Jackson Jr., Andy Serkis,
who I didn't know that was him.
June Diana Raphael, Bob Odenkirk, and Alexander Skarsgård. It is 125 minutes long. The budget reported at $40 million. Too early to give any real numbers.
$40
million. Yep.
That's a lot.
That sort of mid-tier film, which we weren't seeing for a long time, and now they're coming back into vogue for the studios. Wayne, what is Long Shot about?
Long Shot is a film about an idealistic young journalist named Fred Flarsky. That's Seth Rogen. And he's working for a left-leaning publication that gets bought out by a huge media conglomerate. So then Seth Rogen just quits in disgust, and now he's, you know, jobless and unhappy. So he goes out with his friend O'Shea Jackson to this swanky political benefit, uninvited, and then meets Charlotte Field, who is Charlize Theron. She was his babysitter when he was a kid, and he had a crush on her when he was a child. But now, she also happens to be the Secretary of State, who's now running for the presidency. She's having, like, trouble with her image, in that the voters don't find her funny enough, so she hires Seth Rogen to be her writer. Then they develop an unlikely relationship, and hijinks ensue.
As we say, and as the Epic Film Guys say, quite a bit. Wayne, what was your... You saw the advanced screening, with big thanks to Kirby from Anarchy that. I wasn't able to get along, and so you saw it a good 2-3 weeks ago.
Sure, yeah.
I saw it just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Were you excited about this one? Was this kind of in your ballpark?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's a rom-com, and it's Seth Rogen, and...
There will be drug use.
Yes! Actually, I didn't think that first up.
And foul language.
I love his stuff. I love his stuff. And Charlize Theron, look, I did not enjoy her work in that cowboy movie, that Once Upon a Time in the World, that shitty Seth...
Oh, I don't care.
Don't
judge her on that basis.
No.
How about Mad Max Fury Road, motherfucker?
But that wasn't a comedic role, but I see what you mean. Yeah, no, I definitely respected her acting chops, if not her running chops in Prometheus.
Tully? Did you see Tully?
I did not see Tully.
Very good film.
Is that
She's
so?
She's very good in it. Yep.
Oh, excellent. No, I'm a fan of hers, but how does she do comedy? And I'm always...
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm
saying? I see what you're
saying. So this is her being the shit,
I reckon. So you're suggesting that she's not?
Done. I'm not even itching to use that one since, you woke up.
Welcome to the soundboard. If you're new to the show, the soundboard does pop up occasionally to annoy Wayne.
Far too occasionally.
Far too occasionally. I agree.
Far less.
We should have more
of it. Fuck you. I know you know what I meant. Fuck you. All right.
Ooh,
suck it.
God,
I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm not.
Anyway, I can't remember what you asked me now, so eat a dick.
Yeah, so what was you were looking forward to it. That's
absolutely looking forward to
established.
It. But not like ooh, we're going to see this shit. You know, not that. Just like, oh, sweet. This is definitely something I would have watched anyway.
It's also very interesting that it comes out the week after Avengers Endgame, which of course has taken all the money in the entire universe.
Dude, if I was anyone in that studio, I'd be like, this is a great, nice little middle-of-the-road comedy, and there's no way it's going to make a fucking penny because fucking Avengers Endgame is dropping.
It's clearly been put in here as counter-programming. They brought it up. It was going to be a couple of weeks later, and they brought it up to early May, knowing when Avengers Endgame was going to launch. But I don't think anybody could have predicted how big an impact Avengers Endgame was going to have. We're recording on a Sunday afternoon, sort of the second Sunday after Avengers was released. It is purported that tomorrow it will cross $2 billion.
What?
In 10 or is that 11 days since release?
$2 billion. And the budget for the first two, Infinity War and Endgame,
it had to take $1.1 billion, according to Deadline, to go into profit.
Yeah,
so now it's $1 billion into profit.
Now, and this is going to go to three.
Meanwhile, it could do. I mean, it's chasing 2.8, I think, to beat Avatar. Only needs 2.4 to beat out Titanic. I think that's right, 2.3. Anyway,
amazing.
This little film, then, do you think they made the right decision or have they miscalculated?
Okay, if they're looking for... It could be that this film was like cannon fodder. Like, it's like, what do we need? What do we put in that slot where no one's going to make money? This is a little movie. It was only going to make this much anyway. Let's just stick that in there. We certainly don't want to put any of our other more expensive movies out there because they can't afford to lose. So, yes, it was probably... I guess it was definitely a decision.
It's certainly a gamble.
It is, but I think if I was Seth Rogen and whoever any was producing this movie, I'd be spewing at the studio. I'd just be spewing at him.
Well,
but someone's got to take the hit.
All right, well then, given all that, what did you think? First impressions, non-spoiler to begin with before we do hit the spoiler drop of Long Shot.
Now, you know, I love me some rom-com action.
Oh, yes. Totally your wheelhouse.
Absolutely. So, and I know, more than anyone that rom-coms are seldom both romantic and comedic. It's typically one or the other. and typically more romantic than comedic sometimes. Because it's hard to get this thing right, okay?
It's a balance.
Yes. Which is why this movie is so damn good.
Ooh.
This movie fucking rocks, okay? You got what you might consider a standard fish out of water concept, you know? She's a high-flying politician. He's a dinosaur writer, you know? And that might end up in some formulaic mess, but I would say this movie does not do that. Because it's given a boost, and it wins you over with just a lot, like a high gag rate, and then like this kind of shaggy dog lead thing, and but he's still likable. And then it's also a political comedy without getting that highbrow.
Yeah, the political comedy stuff's not very good.
Really? No, I love Veep, so to me it's like, ooh, Veep, but jeez. I don't know. It's like...
I'll get to it.
Okay. The colorful supporting characters, I think that the two stars have an engaging enough chemistry.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
the
chemistry's good.
Where you're like, oh, well, I buy that and I want it to happen.
And I want... Yes, exactly. These films live and die by one very simple premise.
Yeah.
You have to want the leads to get together.
Absolutely. And their meet cute in the cool office, like sorry, in the thing, the party where he stacks it down the stairs, that's nothing but funny.
Yeah, that gag's given away in the trailer.
It is, but it made me want to go see it. And when it happened again, I'm like, oh, still. Yeah. I was happy with it.
And I did probably my biggest laugh, even though it was shown in the trailer time and again.
Yeah.
It was when the Boys to Men dude goes, crack it down!
Yeah, crack it down! That shit is funny, man! Crack it down is hilarious, man! And it's Boys to Men. Actually, this movie is totally about the 90s. So obviously, I'm going
to
get a 90s
boner. It's
very
much a throwback to the 90s.
This fucking like Must Have Been Love by Roxette. Yep. They're dancing to that. Oh, shit.
Can I say, in a film of this ilk, if you have Boys to Men, I don't know if they had any other tracks on the soundtrack because I'm not that familiar with Boys to Men.
Well, I am.
The only track of theirs I am familiar with is End of the Road.
Okay. Well, they were doing Motown Philly when the guys walked in. That's a big one of theirs. So.
Any other song of theirs on the soundtrack? Did you notice?
Oh, I didn't see the soundtrack. I'm not sure.
I'm just wondering because I cannot believe we had Boys to Men here and we did not shoehorn into a romantic comedy End of the Road. When I say can't believe, I mean disappointed.
That's exactly. I hope you're going to play that on this show. Outro.
Lead out with
outro,
it.
Yeah, come on. Yes, well.
All right, so you loved it, Clark, clearly.
I loved it. And let me tell you something. Like, let's talk about this comedy, okay? Seth Rogen must have somehow cultivated zero self-consciousness throughout his career to, like, be so comfortable to be portrayed as this fugly and disgusting. She's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, wearing this shitty tracksuit and has the shittiest beard.
Windbreaker.
Yeah, whatever it is. And I'm like, I mean, frankly, I admire that. This is a true professional, okay? He knows what he wants you to think.
Think back, though. Think back. This is Seth Rogen's stick, right? Apart from going into buddy comedies with his mates and whatever, his other side of his film releases are playing the out-of-his-depth romantic league.
Yes and no. So, for example, in Pineapple Express, he's the old guy who's dating a girl in high school.
Yeah, right? But that one's the knocking around with his buddies one.
More
so. I'm thinking about things like Knocked Up.
Oh, yeah. Actually, good point. Good point. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So he's constantly punching above his weight.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He's cultivated
this thing.
And so,
he would be comfortable with that. Because he's made millions
but
of
I'm
doing
very
it.
Very impressed. I mean, wow.
Must be really hard to act your ass off in bed with Charlize Theron.
It would be! Can you imagine the shit that goes down in like, it would be like, it's not like, first of all, there's a camera there, okay? So let's say you're an actor, right? And then you're like, what if you crack a bone? What if you do that? And then it's in front of her and then it's embarrassing. Come on, it's fucking difficult.
I'd deal with it.
Obviously you would. Look forward to that movie, everyone.
Anyway, I'm going to be a bit more tempered in my
response. I knew you
to
might
this particular
be, so that's
film.
Why I went hard.
Romantic comedies are not my jam, typically speaking. This one's a fine example of one. It has enough laughs to keep you going. The political humor is really on the nose.
You and think?
Because Bob Odenkirk's clearly a reference to the American current president.
He is, but
Andy
Kurt
Serkis is clearly Rupert Murdoch. Alexander Skarsgård is clearly Justin
Trudeau.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's just a bit too on the nose.
No, it's fine. It's relatable. It's relatable.
Very simple humor there. If they kind of, like, of course, it is set politically, so they had to have it, but it's not, that part really lets the film down.
I was fine with it.
The stuff that's focused just really on them and their developing relationship, that's all pretty good. The gag rate's not as good as you're suggesting. I would say barely 50% hit, but because there's so many of them, that's probably enough.
Absolutely.
And in the theater I was in.
Nonplussed?
Yeah, there wasn't much laughter, I have to say.
Okay, so I saw it before Endgame opened, and it was a full theater, and that definitely makes
a
difference.
Well, you saw it in advanced screen. Of course it's a full theater.
Yeah, well, yeah. But,
mostly.
Yeah, and I know that makes a total difference. If the crowd's laughing, I mean, come on, we'll get to something in this.
Yeah, don't spoil any jokes until we get to the spoilers.
Other than
crack it down.
crack it down, that's great. I don't know. I think that the fact that it's I don't think it's a stupid film. I think they've still got a few things to say. Nothing like, no, I'm
not saying it's stupid. I'm saying it's not very sharp with its satire.
Okay, maybe it's played one note. Like, it's just straight. If this is this, this is this, this yep. is this. I'm fine with that. All I want to do is laugh. See, this is the thing. You can't actually put this movie up against anything that you would respect. It's not a movie that's supposed to change your life. All it's supposed to do is entertain you, make you laugh. It's adult fun, and it's good knock-around shit, and then you walk out laughing. That's it.
Well, I certainly didn't walk out laughing. I laughed a few times.
I walked out laughing.
Yeah. And, all right. Well, yeah, that's my take on it versus your take on it. You're obviously much warmer on this film than I am.
Mm.
That would have been, you would have got no odds for that at all. Would have been 100 to 1 yeah, that I liked it more than you. That is for sure. Anything else you want to say in the non-spoiler section, or should we get into it?
I'll just say one thing. O'Shea Jackson is Seth Rogen's friend. Yep. That guy's so good, he nearly steals the first act from Seth Rogen. I thought, come on!
You know, ironically, I didn't buy their chemistry.
No, really?
Didn't work for me.
I actually, if you're going to compare, you know, him and Charlize, him and the other guy, definitely Charlize and him win. I don't know, I was just fully having a good time watching him being...
I felt like it was quite odd, and it didn't... I'm like, really? Huh? Yeah, huh?
Is it because, like...
And I'm not playing the race card before you get there.
I was not going to say that, but I was going to intimate it and then make you fucking dance out.
Too quick for you. Fuck you!
Paul doesn't like it when white people and black people get together. No, I don't know. Yeah,
get together? Is that what they were doing? Okay.
Well, be friends, whatever. Okay. So, yeah.
No, right. I was just that I thought, one, he's a lot younger. Two, I just didn't...
Is he a lot younger?
Yeah, I showed
you. How do you know? Black don't crack. See, now I can do it. Word. All right, so...
Yes, he's a lot younger. I did look into this.
I see. You looked it up. You didn't fucking know, did you?
No, I did. I was like, what's wrong with this? Why isn't it working? And I did my research. Yeah. That's what a good reviewer does, Wayne.
Oh, suck my dick. Okay, no, we can go to spoilers.
All right, let's get into spoilers then on the other side of this sound drop. All right, Wayne, you can now speak freely, spoil any jokes you like.
Everyone, the best jizz joke this side of that side of There's Something About Mary happens in this movie. So this absolutely...
Hang on. Spoilers, I say, and Wayne goes straight to the jizz.
Come on! This is the thing that is the centerpiece of... Well, I don't know. The centerpiece laugh, in my opinion, because what happens...
Inconceivable!
For anyone who hasn't seen this movie, and I know you're probably listening anyway because you don't give a fuck, and you probably haven't
seen it. The only people who are listening at this point don't have any interest in seeing the film. Otherwise, right. You've seen the film and are now just shaking your head at Wayne.
Therefore, you might be laughing at this, okay? So there's a scene in the movie where they try and blackmail Charlize Theron by showing her a video that they hacked from Seth Rogen's laptop when he was jacking off, right? It was jacking off to her.
To Charlotte Field.
Which is sweet. And
sure.
So it's the usual, like, he's just, his dick is just out of the frame and he's, like, pounding away. He's just fucking cranking it. And then, bam! And I was like, oh, I wonder if, oh, shit. And they just fucking, this huge wad of jizz just hits him in the beard. And I went, oh! And the entire theater just fucking lost it, right? And I'm like, damn, they did it. That's amazing.
I did laugh at that part, too.
Oh, come on, right? And so that is fantastic because... And even then, they cut back to them going, oh shit, reacting to it. It's like, oh, Chloe.
That was the one sort of gross out bit.
This could be on my...
And our last episode that we've just released, of course, is the top 10 gross out comedies. So you'll find out whether that scene makes this film hit the list or not. Yeah, look, that was fine. That was funny enough. And it was all good. What I really liked was just must have been love, the dancing.
Oh, yes.
Dancing scene.
Stuff.
And then it's like, let's have sex. And she shows that women can be filthy as well.
Oh, man.
That was fun.
I believe that, too. I believe that Charlize Theron, the way she sells it, like that character is a powerful woman who enjoys getting choked out in bed. We've all met these women. And it's just...
Some of us more than others.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm talking about, guys? You got fucking scared and ran away and shit. That was actually a good one.
Thanks.
Not bad. Well done. shit. So, you know, that's kind of cool. And I don't know. I think... this film ends on a note of wish fulfillment, a bit. And
oh, it does. I was a little bit down with the ending.
I was, but it's good. He's the first guy, and he's not trying to do anything but say, hey, I'm in the fucking White House, and hey, look at this, and fucking whatever. And also, the scene where he walks into the whatever facility where he has to meet the Secretary of State, and he has to empty his pockets, and he's like, it's fucking powder fucking in his bag.
Every drug under the sun.
Yeah, this bar heroin. I've got glaucoma, and this is that, and I'm doing this, and then he pulls out this fucking blunt, and he's like, and that is a blunt. Puts it down and fucks off. Like, that's so good.
Yep. It was around about that point in time I realized Wayne's loving the shit out of this movie.
But, like, it's not just about drugs. It's about being funny about drugs.
That
shit is
it's all good.
Yes! Just drugs itself. You got fucking Trainspotting with some harsh shit. This is funny about drugs.
Okay, so what are you saying? when they finally do, it actually doesn't take that long for them to hook up, and that's kind of nice in a way. And I also, what I did appreciate was we didn't have to spend 40 minutes of them being miserable and apart. Like,
the film
didn't try and get you that way. It's like they are apart for 10, 15 maybe minutes of the film.
Well, there has to be the conflict. Yes, it does.
And yeah. I knew that had to come, but I'm glad that they minimized that time.
Yes, because it was just, this didn't happen, boom, all right?
Too many romantic comedies would then spend, and this is long enough as it is, but a Judd Apatow fucking film would have had another fourth act, and we would have had another 30 minutes of them being apart and really struggling with it, and all of the comedy would have been leached out of the film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And this thing here as well, the way that they have the conflict is that he gets caught on cam jacking his dick, right? So then he's like, hey, I'm fine if that thing gets released. I don't care.
Well, she says to him initially, you need to change everything about yourself, and then we can be together.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, I can still go for the presidency and all the rest of it. And he eventually says, well, you want me to completely change? And he says, no. And so they break up.
Yeah. Okay, so that's really the force there. But by the way, I actually think in a real world situation, if you're Seth Rogen and some hot like secretary says, you got to just wear a suit every now and then, he'd be like, okay. That'll be it. It
wasn't so much that. It was about scrubbing his articles and his writings from the internet.
Oh, that's right.
Because he published in...
Yeah, fuck that bitch.
Yeah,
so
that's too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah,
that's
change what that's you wear. Soul, surely soul, you would fall over yourself to do
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
So I think they did that quite well.
Yeah, no, that's, I agree. That was my point. Like
sporting cast, I liked the naysaying woman.
Yep.
Can't remember what her name is in
June
the show.
June Day and Raphael is her name.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she's a comedian.
She's actually the husband of that guy who was on The League, Andre. The real life wife. Yeah.
Yes. And was it Ravi? Yeah, Ravi Patel, the other guy. So that they're little. Back and forth, and then we get a great little scene where they turn out to be banging as well. That was probably the funniest moment in the film.
That was the best moment in the mill. And it also makes sense. I would think that if your job was your life, as in you car around and you don't even... You'd probably fuck whoever's just near you.
But you hate each other.
Yeah.
And she comes over to shake hands. We're all adults. He goes, I'm not touching that. I don't know where I've been.
That was
and then
funny.
The other guy, Ravi, Tom, his name is in the movie, says, yeah, that's an accurate thing. I wouldn't touch that either. Bob Odenkirk, yeah, this is not his best role.
I don't know. He's just
very
one. He came in for a day. He just came in for a day and did it. That's totally fine.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I've got too much more to say about the film. I think I've made my sort of middle groundness on it known.
And let's.
You're obviously fine. So, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. It is just absurd escapist fun for an adult audience. Go see it on a date, as long as your girlfriend doesn't mind cum shots
or boyfriend.
Sorry, he definitely doesn't mind them. Okay, motherfucker.
I don't know.
There
might be some reserved guys out there men
like,
out
I
there.
Don't want any cum on me. You've had it your whole life, dude. If cum is good for your skin, your stomach is really young looking. You know what I'm saying?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No one's got a problem with it. I guarantee you.
Whoa, that went too far.
What?
Too far. Well, I'm glad that this review of a slight gross out comedy got grosser than the actual film.
It did.
What did you give it as a final score then?
80!
What?
80! Because it's
inconceivable.
The question to answer is, did it achieve what it set out to achieve? It did, to an 80% tune.
Wow.
Absolutely. What's your
60.
Score? Suck a dick, man. It's fucking way better than 60. Suck a dick.
60.
Suck a dick.
And that's even maybe, you've beefed it up a little bit more than
oh
it should
my
be.
God, I hope you come on your own chin.
Apparently that'll make it younger looking.
Well, give it a try.
That is our review of Long Shot as a bit of counter-programming to the Avengers Endgame juggernaut. If my basic thought is, if you've already seen Juggernaut twice, then maybe you can sneak off and see this one.
I think you should see this one between seeing the other one twice.
Right, well, if you've got any thoughts about Long Shot or indeed any other film that we review, you can hit us up on email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at @CountdownPC, or in our Facebook listener community, link in the show notes.
Word.
That's pretty much it for today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been Wayne's favourite friend, the soundboard.
This piece of shit.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Most definitely is not.
There you go.
Shit.
I thought I'd give you one that feeds into you for a change.
You mean one that's actually relevant? Well done. I try and do it all the time.
Whoa.
See, not like this, motherfucker. What is this shit?
It's relevant.
It's fucking thing. Fuck it. Anyway, sorry, everyone. See you later.
Catch you next week. It must have been.
Time had run out.
By the way, here's a funny story. No, I can't tell it. All right, I'll tell it with him. So my cousins like used to hang out back in the day and stuff, and I remember going to one of their cars one time when we were doing something, and there was a rag on the on just like we opened the boot and there was a rag there. And I went to reach for the rag to pull it off and pick up whatever was underneath. And this cousin, who is nameless,
shall remain nameless,
says, dude, I wouldn't touch that fucking rag, eh? Right before I touch it, I stop. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I just wouldn't fucking touch that rag. And I'm fucking slowly backing away. I'm like, what the fuck's he done with it? Obviously, it was a cum rag. Right? but I don't know if he was saying I used it to wipe my juice off some woman or myself. Because why would it be in his car otherwise?
I don't know.
I'm just saying that happened.
Some people really... Some sets of lights take a long time to change.
Imagine jacking off while you're waiting for it to go green. Sorry, that's unrelated to the movie 100%.
Very much is unrelated
to sorry about that, everyone. Okay.
My brain's kind of gone blank after that.
Sorry, cunt.
Probably deliberately as a defense mechanism.
Yeah, probably. You're just trying to check it out.